Well, let me start with a word of prayer and then we'll kick the study off. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we have together tonight to study, to look at your word, to discuss amongst ourselves, to come together as brothers and sisters, as your children. We thank you, Lord, that as we grow and walk with you, we come to the realization that our brothers and sisters are those that we're going to spend eternity with. So we trust you to bless our time. Give us an awareness of your presence and camaraderie amongst ourselves as family members. Trust you to teach us by your precious spirit, bring revelation and understanding. Trust you for inquisitive minds and hungry hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's been a little over a month again. And as I come to prepare each time for our study in reference to our Thursday studies, I have to resist doing a complete review each time because it's been so long since we touched the material, but we'll move ahead. So please, if there seems to be a hole in the discussion or one of us doesn't feel as though we quite know how we arrived at a particular point in our study, please ask, and let's take time to deal with that and make sure we're all on the same page as we do take our time moving ahead with this epistle. The agenda for today is in front of us here and highlighted in yellow after the songs is a discussion of perfect and perfected, having to do with the keywords and meanings. And as I recall, and as I reviewed, this is approximately where we left off with an assignment, an encouragement to probe into that aspect of the paragraph. And as an example of a key word in that paragraph, the word perfect, truly made perfect, and so on. We're going to start with that. Then we're going to briefly look at an assignment that some of us might have started, but taking the word perfect in that Greek word, although we're using the English text, and looking at the other places that it is used by John in his epistle. We're going to follow that in our assignment and see what we can learn with that, how that word is developed, the concept is developed, how the one in this particular paragraph enhances and adds to our understanding and grasp of that word and how it's used later in the epistle, and vice versa with those farther down in the epistle, what they indicate to us that we might want to make sure we include in our grasp of the term used in this initial paragraph in verses 3-6. Then hopefully we'll have time. We're going to take a little discussion and relate all of that perfect and perfected and the things, of course, that we have discovered or settled on in our minds with a degree of confidence for our understanding, and look at John's goal in the epistle as it relates to the foundation stone that we find in the person of Jesus Christ. And so that's the header, subject header, bullet point for that, and hopefully we'll get to it. Any questions? That's kind of our agenda for today. We can read through this. There's four of us, so if somebody'd like to jump, Linda, want to give it a shot?
Okay, and by this, we may be sure that we know him, keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, but disobeys his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly love for God is perfected. By this we may be sure that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked.
Thank you. By this we may be sure that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, but disobeys his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly love for God is perfected. By this we may be sure that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Let me adjust the screen here. so we can fit all the panels and see each other at the same time. Okey-doke. All right, what I wanted to do is follow up from our assignment from last week, go into the aspect of the paragraph, the verse that has perfected. Look at that, see what we've gleaned from doing some definition, meaning work, and what we would bring to the table for our understanding of what John is conveying by the word perfected. So that's what this poster indicates, just in reference to other places. You can see that perfected is used by John and other writers. These panels over on the left, we're going to come back to these two because they have to do with that second aspect of the study tonight that we want to get to. And that is teed off from the reality of John as a child of God, and as he works with us, conveying to us his not just encouragement, but his efforts to bring us to a place of complete confidence that indeed we are in the experience of eternal life. We're in that foundational material, and looking at Paul's quad and so forth, we're going to see how John develops that paragraph by paragraph from God's eternal purpose, which of course comes out of Ephesians as far as words go. But before we get to that, and this is the other foundational part, so let me jump down to where we're at. If you guys remember our study, the panels on the left, I'm going to kind of go through them rather quickly just by way of reminder. And the structural diagram, of which I have to remember that most of us are just learning how to do those. And this is the particular paragraph and a sequence of unpacking it into the structural diagram that we're using. And I believe we went through all this together. And I'm going to get down to where our focus was, which was this. I wanted to do a sidebar study. Well, one of the things that we did en route to a particular word is look at all the words that are significant in the paragraph. And a lot of times they don't have to be multisyllable. They can be simple words. It's the significance of the words, the connectives, simple words like but and that, and keywords like whoever and so forth. Different words are important relative to the weight that John puts on them, as we would see them unfolded in a paragraph. So one of the things that we were doing was looking at key words in the paragraph itself and highlighting them. Hopefully you had a chance to do that. So maybe we should just back up to that and ask that question. Did everybody get a chance to take a serious look at what particular words seem to be important or key words in the paragraph that you would want to make sure that you had a handle on in reference to a definition? Not an English definition in the sense of just a Webster, but how it's used in the paragraph. And I believe we went over the tools to be able to determine that together. I think it was Blue Letter Bible. We used that as an illustration. So answering my question, did anybody get a chance to do that?
I had a chance, but I didn't.
Oh, okay. Let me phrase it differently. Anybody do it? All right. I'm taking that as a group, along with Adam, didn't really able to put the time in on it. So it's kind of hard to move ahead from that. If we don't get some of this stuff done together, I think what we'll do for the sake of our study is we'll jump ahead to perfected. We'll take a serious look at that by way of example of what we do to things like commandments or things like disobeys or words like the truth. All of us come probably when we initially read these things, and we have an understanding of our heads of what these words mean and or the context that we think that they fall in. And we then, by default, especially because we're in the particular culture that we're in and particular century that we're in and so forth, by default, we, of course, out of the gate, assume we know exactly what is being said here, how it's being said, and what John's conveying. And we rarely take enough time to unpack the things that are influencing us to that understanding. So some of us bring, if it's in the Christian context, might bring a Lutheran understanding of the truth or disobeys or what commandments are or what abide means, or we might bring a Wesleyan, we might bring a Reformed or a Roman Catholic, we might bring Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, we might bring a modified from some of those things, we might have a Pentecostal grasp, and a lot of teaching's been coming in our lives from maybe that influences as we look at this, and we then determine an interpretation by default. What we're trying to do as we study together is to slow that down, take it apart, see where we have those influences, and if we can be so disciplined and recognize them, set them aside for the time being. Later we can check and see if they're significant and or important and or should determine our interpretation. But what we want to do is give John enough time to speak to us. As we move from paragraph to paragraph, he is building his truth, and we want to track with what he's doing. He's engaging us paragraph by paragraph by soliciting in us an understanding of what's happened to us. He points out certain aspects of it, and then he broadens it out, develops it, and we know that the goal he has in mind is to bring us to a real confident place that indeed we know experientially that we have God indwelling us, co-participating in his life, the divine life's being manifest in and through us, God's being glorified, and so on. And we walk, as this paragraph says, we walk as he walked. And so we want that understanding to be developed from John, because therein the Holy Spirit will be able to develop in us that confidence that indeed I know what John's talking about. It witnesses and testifies to me, and I stand strong on the foundation that he's building with me. So that's what we're trying to do as we pull apart keywords and important words. So it's a significant aspect. Actually, it's the most important aspect of the early stages of our study as we look paragraph by paragraph. I suppose, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but I do have a tendency to do that. So you're too far away from me to reach in and slap me, so I'll just go ahead and throw out a few sarcastic things. My assumption is, in a light sarcasm, is that maybe we didn't get too much farther in the study if we didn't look up meanings and definitions and so on to get farther down into it. For instance, the next panels. Do these look familiar? Anybody have a chance to do that? How can I phrase this so we get a quick answer and we don't have to weave and dodge? Did anybody? No?
I didn't.
Okay. We're going to let Adam speak for the group today?
Yeah.
Adam, you'll be famous by the end of today. All right. Well, then let me pick it up and show us how we move from panel to panel. What we have here is looking up perfected. We'll work our way from this verse farther down. The next panel then gives us an introduction of a couple tools that we have for our study together, one of which is the key words here that is on the website. And what we have is, I'll just blow it up from here, if you guys don't mind. All right, each one of these, I've already gone ahead and done a keyword study for us, and not a study, just a highlight, a keyword. So wherever abides appears or renderings of abide in John's epistle, it'll be highlighted. the same with blood, the same with from the beginning, the same with spirit, same with love, light, Jesus. These are all done. You might take a look and see that perfect is there. Now, as we come across new ones in our discussion, moving ahead paragraph by paragraph, if we haven't already done them, I will put them in here. So you have these done for you. For instance, what I mean by they're done for us is we have what in printed out days, when I used to print these out for folks, it was 11 by 17. This is perfected. So every place that perfect and or perfected or perfect or perfected, perfect, perfects, any use of that word in John's epistle will appear in this list or highlighted wherever it occurs in the epistle. So that's what this is. So when I say we have an assignment to do next time is we're studying this one over here in the left in the first column, but we have perfected and perfect used other places in the epistle. We see that in chapter 4, we have four other occurrences. Well, we'll want to know, is something in addition being said to expand the term perfect according to John? How does he specifically use it in these paragraphs? What things are added together with it in the context that can help us understand the meaning of perfect and bring that back, of course, to this paragraph? So that's one tool that we have. Any questions on that? So that's what the keyword booklet is that you'll find on the website. Everyone, I assume, knows how to get to the website and how to find this on the resource page. Does anybody not? I'll take no hands up to assume that we all know how to get there and we know where it is. And we'll be elated to know that maybe most of us have done that. All right. So there we go. That's what that panel is. The next panel. The next panel then simply isolates those passages in the epistle. And then we list out the passage in 2:5, and then list those passages left to right down here in red. And this is just then another visual tool for us to look at as we contemplate how John is using the word perfected. How, in turn, we might have thoughts. How does it relate to whoever keeps his word? How does it relate to in him truly love for God is perfected? And that we're starting to develop then an understanding of what John means by perfected. I won't ask right now what we think it means, but we're going to take some tools and kind of work out what that is. Here's the list of them on the left, the other places it's used, and a phrase that they're found with. Here's comparative translations on each one of those verses in multiple translations that spans centuries from when a particular Bible version was came about or translated, a translation. So from, let's say, King James up to a New Revised Standard Version or even newer ones, we would find them here. And we've gone over this in the past of how to do that. Is anyone with Power Bible? And does anybody not know how to do what you're looking at in Power Bible? Don't be shy. There's only a couple other people here. Does anybody not know? Because if we don't, I'll show us how. Everybody knows.
Why don't you show us how?
Okay. That's the group leader there. Who speaks in that commanding voice? Does everybody have access to?
I don't even know that I have Power Bible on my new computer here. Is this a download thing or is it
I can set it up so you can download it.
Okay.
You can do this with Blue Letter Bible, a lot of Bible programs.
Right. So that's the one I worked in, Blue Letter Bible.
But... Okay. I can, we'll touch on that after this. Chuck and Linda, you guys are using Power Bible or not?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. Linda? Your mic is off.
I use Bible Gateway.
Okay. Well, let's touch on all of those then. We'll use Gateway, Blue Letter Bible, and Power Bible. So first, Chuck is up to bat. So 1 John is right here. And so now we're in the Epistle of 1 John. And Charles, up on the left to right horizontal bars, menu structure. Yours might be configured different depending upon how big your screen is and so on. But anyway, there's a menu item called Search Bible. So you just click that, and this dialog box will pop up. Can you see this okay, Charles?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll type in the word perfect. And then we'll want... Well, we will any of these words. So let's put in any of these words. And we could put in, then we'll put a space in, and then we'll go perfected. And what would be another one? Perfects? Yeah, maybe perfects. All right. Then we've got to pick the range, and we got to pick the Bible. So, Charles, what Bible do you prefer here?
NIV.
And then we'll pick the range. So you saw how I picked the Bible version. That's this top bar. Then I hit set range. So range is going to be the whole Bible, which would be Genesis to Revelation, or the New Testament, and then which book. So which book is the first verse I'm going to want is going to be in the Epistle of John. So I'll just pick John, 1 John. And the last verse is going to be in 1 John. So there it has the span from chapter 1:1 to the end of the epistle. Then I'll click OK. And then all I do is hit OK here. Then up pops perfect, which you can see that obviously the NIV doesn't have perfect in chapters 2, verse 5, right? Have you found that to be true, Charles?
Yeah.
Okay, and these other ones. So for the sake of discussion, we're going to pick the RSV. I know it's torturous for some of us, but at least one of us will be happy. All right. So there we have perfect. On the left, you'd see a list of its occurrences. In the middle, you'd see the verses typed out, highlighted in red. What I've done for the graphic that we use is that, I'm sorry. This is compare translations. This is this chart. I went through then from search the Bible and then highlighted these individually. But to do this, we'll jump back to Power Bible. All right, then we simply look up the verse that we're in, which is in chapter 2, so we got to go to chapter 2. Then we'll do, I'm going to right click Charles on the page. I'm going to go show full compare links. This will pull up your NIV also. So now full compare, and here's verse 5 where for God, truly love for God is perfected. I hit full compare. This box, dialog box will pop up, and I just fill the page with it. Here's all the verses different versions of verse 5. And then all I did was highlight them individually. The word in yellow. So anyhow, that's how you do that. You comfortable there, Charles?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, things are going good. Okay. Now we got to go to what, blue letter? Do you know how to do it? Do you know how to do it there, Adam, or not? We will go find out. Right there. All right, so we'd go with 1 John 2:5. What version?
Might as well go with the RSV, I guess.
Yeah.
Might as well go with the best one, right?
Yeah, man. Why hold back?
Yeah.
We meet so infrequently, we got to make sure we, you know, get in with the good stuff. All right, so we'll look that up. So here it is here. And I haven't done it in this that often, so let's pull up compare to translations. It's not a quick button here, I don't think. The thing is we can do the Greek like, no, can't do that either, because they don't need to compare the translations, because they're all the versions are translating from the same original Greek word of which that's what this one is. So we're a little befuddled here in reference to try to do compare translations with a simple click of the button in this. So we'll just throw Adam to the side for a minute. And we'll go to what was it, Bible Gateway? I think this one pulls them up so you can see them side by side, if I recall. Let's try 1 John. New International. I think, Linda, have you tried this at all? Look at it, compare translations.
I haven't gone as far as you're going, but you could do one and then another and another.
I think one of these, and it might be Bible Gateway or it might be, I don't think it was Blue Letter. When you pull one up, then you'll see all the rest of them below it in a list. Let's see if we can see if we can do it. 1 John. No. There's the versions.
It may be that you can only do it sequentially and not.
Yeah, well, right. Let me put some time before I see you guys again in a month, and I'll see if we can have a quick way to do your study Bible, digital study Bible, to see if we can do that. Just by compliment, I can get you a Power Bible that has some of those nice, easy, quick tools where you don't have to, doesn't get too laborious to do it. And I'll get you a copy like Chuck has. And okay. Yeah, you both have PCs?
Mm-hmm.
Adam, you're good with a PC?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll have to look because I know I had a copy of Power Bible because I had it on my old laptop.
Yeah, I handed them out over the years, so that would be
I might even have it. I'll look around, see if I got the CD still. You know what? I don't even have a CD drive on my computer, so.
Well, then I can put it on the website. I did it for Ken. I think I might still have it there, and I'll get you the link.
Okay.
And then you just download it, and then you can install it from your hard drive.
All right.
All righty. So that takes care of that, you guys. Anyhow, so what this allows us to do visually when we look at it like this is to compare how different translators or groups, individuals or groups of translators took that particular Greek word that we're going to look up in a second and how they rendered it in the sentence, and we compare it to the particular Bible that we're using. Now, I do the study in a Revised Standard Version, so we'd compare it to that and see if what we can glean just from how it's used in each one of these different occurrences in the epistle. Now, just in verse 5, from the Authorized Standard here at the top, we can see something about perfected and how it's presented, which isn't maybe specifically clear in the Revised Standard Version. Revised Standard Version is right here where we see in him truly love for God is perfected. But something happens to the verb up here. When we get into the Greek, we'll see that. But up here, we can see that it's been rendered maybe not necessarily in the present tense, but in what? Hath been perfected or past tense. In other words, this perfection has already occurred. Do you guys see that? That's what that verb is telling us.
Yeah, now,
good. And then we see different words that are used in, I think this is British something or other Bible, is made complete instead of been perfected. So is made complete adds something to our understanding of what perfected is. Something else we take note of is what about been perfected or is made complete? What's going on with you or I as a believer?
We're completed.
Yeah, but it's an action has happened to us. Something's happened to us. We have been made complete and we've been perfected. Brought to God's proper end. We'll look that up. Okay. So, anything else anybody wants to take note of? This is a fun one down here. This is TCNT. This is the 20th century New Testament, which is really a nice translation. Has indeed reached its perfection. Again, now we're thinking we haven't looked it up or delved into what in the world is the love of God or the love for God? What is that? And that's what has reached its perfection, has indeed reached its perfection. So again, we're taking mental notes. We might write them down of things to contemplate in regard to this word perfection. What does has truly been perfected do? New American Standard. Or Charles's Bible, NIV, love is truly made complete. What does truly do to it? How does it modify it? Does it subtract from it? Does it enhance it? Does it strengthen it? Whatever our understanding is of the word perfect or being made complete. Now let's just look at New Revised Standard Version, just to add one more thing to it. Has reached perfection. This person, truly in this person, the love for God has reached perfection. What does that tell us about the love of God? The love of God that a person has, can it reach a place that it's absolutely perfect, whatever perfect means, seems to indicate that. And then the word truly really underscores it. In other words, no messing around. This is a fact for real. The love this person has of God has reached perfection. Now, is it the love of God, the love God has for us, or our love of God? And again, those are questions that need to be answered. Remembering, by default, we come to this and we have a presumed understanding of an interpretation of this that we brought with us from other places. It may or may not be accurate to what John's conveying. And because we've had such fun with this verse, we're going to move on to the next one. All right, this is verse, chapter 4, verse 12. And again, this is the same word in the Greek with different modifications to it. And let's just take a look at that. Is this used any differently than we see in chapter 2, verse 5? One thing to note on these pages that I've made for our study, when they're a different rendering of the word, I have those on top. Except I can see I didn't have perfection listed up there, and I should have listed that. So we had perfected, made complete, and perfection. Its perfection would be up there. And we'd read and study these verses the same way. Now, I'm going to encourage you, this is part of the assignment I had for you guys to do for next month. And let me do one more like this one, maybe get a little into the next one, and I'll think out loud things that we would write down, questions that we'd have, that then we'd go from this type of interaction with our study page and go then to, we'll go to Blue Letter Bible to actually look this word up and see what is conveyed to us through a couple of Greek tools in reference to the translator's word that they use to arrive at perfection or made complete. Again, we're still just working in the English. We're Greek tools and so on. We don't have to know anything about that other than through the course of time, we develop a little awareness of what the Greek alphabet is and what word might come before the other in a dictionary, so to speak. But it isn't that we are necessarily going to take much time and study Greek together. Certainly welcome to do that on your own. All right, let me read a couple of them. Let me read the 20th century New Testament. No human eyes have ever seen God. Yet if we love one another, God remains in union with us, and his love attains its perfection in us. So do we see a past tense thing going on there like we saw previously? Not immediately in the 20th century New Testament. If I would jump up to the New King James, let me read that. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. Now, that may not mean too much to us initially, but as we start to think about it and as we look then at different ways it could be rendered and in turn interpreted in 1 John, the present tense and or the past tense become extremely important in the context of, did I, in receiving Christ as Savior, and what the Holy Spirit has done to me, initially in the testimony we have of the forgiveness of our sins, but in so changing me and making me into a child of God and becoming a resident person in me and so on, has been perfected, takes on a lot of meaning compared to something yet to be perfected in me. It's a whole different world. We want to know, well, what is John actually saying? One, if there's a perfection to be reached after I become a Christian, we want to know what that is. And is John, is that what he's after with me? And he's walking with me to bring me to that place? Or does he want me to come to an understanding and a grasp of a truth that exists in me because of his residence? And would that fall into then, because of that, I have been perfect. In other words, I've been made a vessel that is a perfect place for him to reside and so on, and can be expressed in that context. We're not going one way or the other. We want to take time to determine what John is saying. Is this making sense to everybody? Good. All right. Yeah. The last couple that we have here, the same thing you're going to do to them. You're going to take time and look at them and read them and see what the criteria are and what's in relationship to this perfection, attaining or past tense or something to be looked for or in a quest to obtain. And what are what's the context that he presents whatever he's talking about in regard to perfection in these verses. So that's 4:17 and this is 4:18. All right. So what I'm going to ask us to do for next time is to go through doing this. I made a separate, it'll be a separate PDF. It's a separate PowerPoint study guide that I'm going to jump to after we do the Greek thing and show you that you can work from that. And then I have a lot of this done for us if you'd look ahead, of which I have a high degree of confidence that you won't jump ahead until you've done it yourself. Of which I don't know how long I can hold on to that confidence. That's the sarcasm again, by the way. All right, the Greek. Here's what we looked up in Blue Letter Bible. And Adam's the only one using it, although I encourage Charles to use it. And it is quite easy. It is a tool we're going to use for class, and all the pages will be referenced to it. So at least become familiar with it. You can do some of this in Power Bible, but not to the, it's a little tougher. So Blue Letter Bible is, works quite well. And I have a link on this page so that you can just jump to it. And we'll look that up here and we'll just run through the exercise briefly. Are we all comfortable here? This is a little more detailed and academic than we will do every time. But once you guys know what you're doing, we won't spend so much time in class doing it. So what are we doing here? It's 1 John 2:5. And this is probably the King James. You can change the Bible version up here if you'd like. And I'll jump back to the RSV. All right, so what we're doing over here is there's Bible tools here, and you can see when I run my mouse over it, I know that's too small for you to see right now, but it gives us interlinear, which we're going to jump to, Bibles. What's that say? Bibles. Let me pull that up, Court. There's a compared translation. There you go. Adam, still there?
I am.
Okay, you're so excited. I did, yeah. Did you see how I got it? I'll go back. I'll go back, yeah. Yeah, this tools, it's to the left. First is interlinear, then there's Bible, then there's cross-references, then there's commentaries, then there's dictionaries, and so on. So I just hit Bibles, cross from verse 5, and here's all the versions with verse 5.
Gotcha.
Okay. So if you're using your computer, you could highlight a word and screen capture, you know, if you did them all and so on. So, yeah, there you go. So there's the Bibles. I'm going to hit the verse, and that'll bring us then to the interlinear, the way it's laid out in Power Bible. And what we have here then is the Greek text of that verse. And I couldn't tell you which particular, it's Textus Receptus, and which other things are going on with it, in the sense of where, what interlinear it grabbed it from. But, and then we have listed vertically on the left is each individual word and or necessary a word that's a phrase vertically. Then we have Strong's numbers, which is important for us. Then we have a transliteration. In other words, the Greek letter rendered into English letters. Then we have how the word Greek word Strong's 1161, the English word but, B-U-T, connective, is rendered, is spoken, and we can practice that individually or group, or we can start a choir.
Strong's G, 1161, de.
Okay, so that's a little ways away from the Canadian, what's that about, eh? This is de.
Strong's G, 1161, de.
All right, and then in the far right, parsing grammatically, how the word is used grammatically, so you'd get to the tenses and the passive active and so on, which we're not initially too concerned about, but at some point they become important for us. All right, then vertically, I'm going to go down to perfect. And we have perfected because I'm the Revised Standard Version, and which I don't think that is okay. Perfected. The Greek number is 5048. And what we would do is we'd find the word, we'd practice it, of course, because when we're out in public or we're at our COVID anti-Bible parties.
Strong's G 5048. Telaio.
We practice
Telaio.
Telaio. Everybody together.
Strong's G 5048.
Telaio. Telaio. Give it a shot. All right. So you can practice that.
Telaio.
Good, Adam. That was good. All right. Then we'd hit Strong's number 5048. That's the number of that particular Greek word in Strong's Greek Concordance. We look it up. What we're going for here for now are definitions. This is the most important part of the study in reference to Blue Letter Bible. We have the word up there again, and once again, we're practicing it.
Strong's G 5048. Telaio.
And
Telaio.
Do that once in a while because it really enhances our study. Even if you're by yourself, it makes it fun. All right, so what part of speech it is and so on. So this gets into the grammatical aspect of it. But what we're concerned with down here are some tools. First, we have, we're looking for the definition of it is the reason why we're at this page initially. We're going to come back to Vines and the Theological Dictionary and New Testament here, these tools for enhancement of our definition. But what Blue Letter Bible does is it outlines the Bible usage from the definitions from Thayer's and other sources he'll pull in here, or he and or she or the group of people will summarize the definition for us, just like you'd see in a regular dictionary. Say Webster's, You've got definitions numbered. So particular English word, and you take, it lists the different uses of the word and it'd give a number to the variations. And so for instance, perfected here in the RSV, here the first definition is to make perfect or complete. And we notice those two words we got from different translations already. And then sub-enhancement to that or modified is to carry through completely, to accomplish, finish, bring to an end. So that's part of our understanding of the first one. We don't necessarily say that that's the one John's using. He might be using number two, which is to complete or to perfect. Then we have two modifiers there. Add what is yet wanting in order to render a thing full. Maybe John's using it that way. Or to be found perfect. Come to maybe a particular time or maturity where you're found perfect. Number three, to bring to the end the goal proposed. Four, to accomplish, bring to a close or fulfillment by event of the prophecies of the scriptures and so on. Then we have Strong's definition listed in English. Let me just read that rather quickly. To complete, literally accomplish or figuratively, consummate in character, consecrate, finish, fulfill, make, and perfect. So we have all this material to sort out and see what helps us in our meaning and understanding of the definition of how John is using that term. And again, we need to see it in context, but just look in that particular Greek word. Any questions so far? Hopefully we're seeing the significance and relevance and a degree of necessity to try to do some of this work so that we have a confidence we know what's being conveyed in 1 John. Then we have Thayer's Greek lexicon, which is in public domain. There's other lexicons and we have access to them. But if we show the complete, if I click this button, I get a complete list, listing of what Thayer's has on his pages pertaining to the Greek word 5048, which we're learning how to pronounce. And it would list by number one, by number two in the sub-meanings, number three, number four, what we saw in summary up above here. But the nice thing about looking at it in Strong's, although he doesn't have it every place, is that a lot of times by particular meaning will be listed the verse number, 1 John 2, verse 5, which would indicate to us that that's probably the particular definition of that word in the context of John 2, 5. Sometimes he won't list exhaustively all the different verses, but you will notice as you review it for next month, the other verses in John, you'll find also listed in here in 1 John. And so actually, I think if I recall, every one of them is listed. And so that you can see and have a degree of confidence, okay, the root meaning, core meaning, and also pertaining to the context of 1 John, this is the meaning that's carried with it. I need to spend more time with it, but at least I have the confidence that I'm starting out with something that's fairly accurate. So we find it down here, number two. Let me blow that up for us. Everybody see that? Here, Charles, you see it? Linda?
Yes.
Adam? Okay, let me read it. Number two. To complete, perfect, add what is yet lacking in order to render a thing full, passive. 1 John 2, 5. 1 John 4, 12. 1 John 4, 17. Note that it doesn't have 1 John 4, 18. So I'd start with that one. Now I believe that I have that in our study guide. Let me pull it up. We have this. There we go. This is the stuff that we just worked our way through. And here's theirs. And here's pointing to number two from that. So these are the pages we just looked at. And here's a summary page, of which then I've added Vine's Expository Dictionary. Let me show you that. Are we all good to now? We're all going to remember what we did here. It might take a little practice. We'll collapse this. We'll get it back to proper size. All right. Vine's Expository Dictionary was up the page a little bit. Somewhere up there. Right here. So if you click Vine's Expository Dictionary, view the entry, this would be then keyed to that number out of Strong's, 5048, I think it was. And so that's this one. And it doesn't get any bigger, which is two, they should have that, but it doesn't. So it's fairly lengthy entry. And so you have to read through it. Vine's brings in things outside of a Greek dictionary to formulate the material that he has there. You might find cultural information, other usages of it in Vine's, and it expands it a bit. So you get a little bit more material for your understanding of the word. So we have that back in our study guide that I made for us. Yes, we have that right here. So you can see what that is. All right. Any questions with that so far? Again, all of this is to just take a word in that verse and its context as much as you can, and get kind of a handle on how John is using it to help us with the meaning. And that helps protect us from putting things into that word that aren't there and aren't meant to be conveyed, the Holy Spirit, by what John has penned there. All right, the next thing then in the word meanings is is the concordance. Let's go back to Blue Letter Bible. So we'd go to the bottom of this panel that we had up, and that's what this is here. This Greek word, this is the concordance. It says concordance. This is using the King James. This is the concordance. And you can view the Old Testament results and or the New. We have the New showing here. So this is every place in the New Testament that word that's rendered perfect is used by the New Testament authors, varied as they are. So we start out with the first occurrences in Luke, and then the number is over here. Tells you what's being translated, fulfilled. Then we have, again in Luke, now we have John, the Gospel of John. Then we have down here, here's the Greek word, same one that John in his epistle is using. And the word rendered there is finish. So now we're getting a feel for how the authors of the New Testament are using this word. And then we'd study this particular verse and or paragraph we find it in, and or the epistle itself or the gospel, and see how that author is using it and what meaning, how the meaning becomes fleshed out in a greater grasp and understanding and a fine point on what it's used and how it's being used in 1 John. So this will be all the places in the New Testament. So it goes on for a while. Here's all the places that 5048 and or perfect is used. Any questions on that? That'd be the concordance. If in the years past you've used Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, you know, it's that great, big, fat, huge book that a lot of us in the fall would put pretty leaves to preserve till the next year. For those of us that have done that. All right. Let me see what else we have in the study that might be significant. Want to give us enough time to get to our closing part. All right, the study guide, the PDF that you'll have up there will be able to bring you to a lot of this. The next thing is the cross-references and Power Bible and or Blue Letter or Gateway. You could grab the cross-references. What would a cross-reference be, for instance, in Power Bible? What do we think? What is it? What's meant by that? Anyone can answer that question. Anyone? Okay, normally, I'll just use Power Bible as an example. Blue Letter will be the same. Cross-reference, and also we'd have access to the Thompson Chain cross-reference study tool. And I think we have that in Blue Letter might have it, or Gateway. Anyway, when that becomes something we will take time to look at, we can do it. And verse 5, we have two verses listed. The Gospel of John for cross-reference, for this verse, in 1 John 4, 12, 13, for this verse. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a cross-reference for perfected. It means a cross-reference someplace that has a similar idea or concept being dealt with by the author, a given author, the concept. And so it might be helpful, might not be helpful. So that's the cross-references. The commentaries, this is just an example of Blue Letter Bible. We saw these listed, Blue Letter Bible has them and also Gateway. This is cross-references out of Power Bible. These are all the different cross-references for verse 5. So predominantly for all three of those study Bibles online, including Power Bible, these would be public domain. So a lot of them would be older. So if you want to look up a newer commentary, somebody say you want to look up MacArthur or Sproul or an author of a commentary on 1 John like Findlay or somebody, there'd be a little greater challenge to try to find those. These are public domain, which means they're dated enough to be in the public domain. So we have Adam Clark, we have Barnes, we have Wesley, we've got Poole's commentary, Dottridge, Teacher's Bible, and so on, of which you can get help from. And so all you do is click on them, and then you'll have them. And if I have Power Bible open, I'll take us there and look at it rather quickly. So we'll go back to commentary links. And for verse 5, we can look up Adam Clark here. So up will pop then what Adam Clark has listed for commentary on verse 5. And a lot of times they can be quite helpful. What you're doing is we're looking at what somebody else thinks might be there, a third party. So they may not be in the room, but at least we can see what they said. Adam Clark would be over 100 years ago. Here's what he had to say. And he these particular phrases here. If we looked up, and you can keep notes too in there, but let's see, teacher, there's teacher. Teacher's commentary has to add for enhance our understanding is some material having to do with the word. And then some other stuff going on. So anyhow, that's how to use the commentaries. All right, there are other sources. that we see here. And you can do, this is Blue Letter Bible here again. That's the word search. And this is word search again. In time to come, I'll give us some theological references that we can use that are online, like the Theological Dictionary, and like that, and where we'll look up the theological meaning of the term. So it won't necessarily be verse specific. It'll be the theological theological doctrinal verbiage having to do with particular theology, and predominantly they have a bent in a positive sense. They have a particular leaning theologically, whether Reformed or Arminian or Catholic and so on. But we won't use those right now. All right. That's enough explanation for all of this. Hopefully you guys have a particular assignment, which is to review these four panels and develop some content for them. And I'll show you where I want you to put that. Any questions? We're all having as much fun as I am, I'm sure. You know, we go to Bible study and sometimes it's like having a good workout for the brain, I suppose, or for our rear ends, depends how long we stay here. All right, this particular one, there'll be a PDF up there and it'll be named with the word assignment in the title. We've covered all these top ones on the left. Let me make that a little bigger. We've covered all these top ones. What I did down below is did them again, but then here's where we would put our summary of those passages. We would type them in, write them in, however you want to do it, your own sheet of paper or this if you download it, and you'd put in the information that you've gleaned about how it's used in these different passages. You just put it there. Here's some... brought in the definitions from a blue letter from the Greek, and we have a summary of it here on our study page relevant to these passages. And of course, for those that didn't like red apparently or black, I made a yellow one, which is kind of fun. All right, so then concept structure. Let me see where we're going. But I had some more stuff here for you. This might not be significant until... Yeah. Don't worry about this. This will be for next time. We'll touch on it next time. But that first page I have for us up above here. Where you can put your summary. So right before your assignment stuff, you can bring up what you've learned from each one of those passages and put your revelations, understandings down here. All right, any questions on that? I went over it rather quickly. It's really just basic mechanical stuff. Any questions? Okay, some of us are getting heavy heads, so we have to hold them up. This is okay. All right, we're going to do this last one. John's goal relative to the foundation stone, and we're segueing off of perfect and perfected, made complete. And what we're going to do is just take a quick look and review. Have you guys seen these panels before? I can't remember if I used them with us as a group or with the other. I know I used them with the other group. And I thought I walked all of us through this house of God from God before the created order and then in his creation, his eternal purpose, and then through the unfolding of the sun's going to build God's house, the Old Testament prophecies. We have Ezekiel and the specifics of how he's going to build his house in his people, fulfilled eternal purpose accomplished in Christ Jesus. And then we have the experiential side of us participating by means of the death, shed blood, resurrection of Christ, and so forth, and being put into him, how we are to participate. The one I want to touch on as far as a segue from perfection is this one, where we see in Ezekiel things like, I'll put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. We see that we're cleansed, we're washed, where all idols are removed. We get a new heart, we get a new spirit. The olds are taken out and the new ones put in. And then there's a causation by the residence of God's own spirit within us. This is the root, the core, and the foundation of where the rationale, justification, and defense of our experience in jointly participating with the person of Christ, the Word of God in the first paragraph of 1 John, is our ground and foundation. We go from that to see it manifest in the incarnate Christ, and then in turn, as component parts of his body, we are the express manifold wisdom of God in what he's realized in Christ Jesus, as you see in Ephesians, and I'm sure you've read it several times. So we see that the foundation stone of what John's saying, and whatever paragraph we're in, that's what these blocks represent, is built from, founded on, and starts at God's eternal purpose that he's realized in Christ Jesus. So when we think of perfect here, John's building on that foundational relationship, see it over here on the left, God's eternal purpose realized in Christ that's to be made known by means of the expression of his life in each one of us as believers, that manifest life. And if we go back to this particular passage right here, let me highlight. Oh, you can see that, I think. So I've got this highlighted. Cause you to walk on my statutes by means of his spirit within us. When we go to this passage and in relationship to perfected, love for God is perfected, we have to take into account the foundation that John's coming from, that in us, this obedience is to be manifest in us by means of the Holy Spirit who indwells us. So that gives us foundation, ground, and context to understand what he means by whoever keeps his word, in him truly love for God is perfected. Everything in John is built on this eternal purpose realized in Christ Jesus. He started out in the first paragraph indicating that to us with his joint participation in the divine life manifest in a human being. All right, comments pertaining to that. We'll keep talking about that. We've been talking about it for a long time, but it's directly relevant to the word perfected and its tense. And what we're to do with whoever keeps his word. Do you guys see the connection we're making? Anyone not see it? Well, good. Well, then you have an assignment for next week. Does everybody know what that is? Or for next month, sorry. Now, if you have time, You guys could go over and look at, although the Minneapolis group is ahead of you by a few paragraphs, different aspects of this are broadened out and some depth added to them in that discussion, because we meet every single week. So your assignment, of course, is to deal with looking at perfect and perfection through the epistle and summarize your thoughts as far as meanings and what John is conveying, built on initial definitions that you have here from the Greek word. And you saw that right down. No, here. Okay. So you're going to look at that then in these four panels. These four panels. So you actually don't have to go to Blue Letter Bible. I've got it all on the panels for you. Spend some time thinking about this, that whatever John unfolds is built on this. Christ fully manifests as God-man, the new creation, the right fit vessel for the life of God. He birthed himself as that. We participate in that in the first paragraph of 1 John. So everything John unfolds is built on that. Anything we want to add to it or modify it with, find out in the course of time that John doesn't intend that, and it's actually isn't any part of his revelation. We brought that in from someplace else. All right. I think that's it. I had some, next month I'll have on the website, and I'll have a page laid out with it, some audiobooks that you can download and listen to that are significant pertaining to people and authors in time past in the experience of this Sabbath rest and their witnessing and testimonies about that. Also, we'll start with just one particular author and three of his books, and then we'll add to them over the course of time. I have the written book, PDF, and then you'll have also the audiobook. If I can't find it online or I haven't previously recorded it, we'll get it put together. So, any questions?
That's all, folks.